Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
John chapter 4, how many have found your place? Amen. Amen. All right, would you stand please with me while we read a portion of God's Word? I realize the time this morning, so we'll be brief. I don't know about y'all, but I didn't come to get out, I came to get in. Amen? And when the Lord starts working on hearts, we just need to be patient a little bit. Amen? John chapter number 4, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea, departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thereon on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then thou hast that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereon himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him, he shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and whom he thou that is not hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and is that true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, to save just a little bit of time, would you skip down with me, please? And would you notice and find down, let's look here in verse number 38. And I sent you to reap wherein you bestowed no labor. Other men labored that you entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of this woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. Will you bow for a moment of prayer? Brother Frank Goodson, would you pray for us? Thank you. You may be seated. I'm preaching this morning on the thought, a woman, a well, and an empty bucket. A woman, a well, and an empty well bucket. I thank Brother Keith for bringing me a bucket this morning. Brother Steve, I'm going to let you hang on to that for a minute. I want to preach to you about John chapter number 4 this morning. Notice, when this woman came in John chapter 4, the day began like any other normal day. In John chapter 4, the woman here, she went and got her well bucket. And she went down to the well of Jacob to get some water. She had a physical need. They tell me that you can go about 3 to 4 weeks without food, but you can only go about 3 days without water. Water is a substance that every man needs. You've got to have water to survive. You've got to have water to live. You've got to have water for your cells to multiply. You've got to have water to exist. And the woman had a physical need. And so she took a well bucket down to the well of Jacob. And there sitting on a well was a man she did not recognize. On that well sat there that day a Jew of all people. You see here, this woman was living in Samaria, an area in which that the Jews despised. It goes back in the Old Testament, the days of Jeroboam and Rehoboam. It goes back to the days in which the nation was divided. And in that time, there were these people that said, we need to worship God in Jerusalem. And so they worshiped in Jerusalem. But this other group said, no, we're going to worship down here on this mountain and this place of Samaria. The place of Samaria, this was a ghetto area. This was an area in which, across the tracks, this was an area in which was despised. It was an area in which there were half-breeds. This was an area in which people didn't like these people that lived down in Samaria. There are people today that don't like certain races, don't like certain kinds of people, don't like certain cultures, and don't like certain individuals. Friend, may I say to you this morning that by the good grace of God, that our Savior came from heaven's glory. He came down to this sinful world, and he came to save whosoever will. Red, black, or yellow, and white, doesn't matter what side of the tracks you live on, doesn't matter what kind of income you have, doesn't matter what kind of status you have, but the Lord of glory came to save the sinner today. Doesn't matter what race of people you are, but the Lord loves you today. Say amen. He loves the out and down and outers. He loves the up and outers. He loves, my friend, those that are wealthy. He loves those that are poor. He loves those that are despised. He loves those that lived on the other side of the track. Brother Danny, when I grew up in Reedsville, we lived on the other side of the track. We didn't know we was poor, Brother Steve. We thought everybody was that way. But my friend, I began to learn something. We lived on the other side of the track. We lived down on Edna Cotton Mill. We lived over yonder on Montgomery Avenue and Burton Street. We lived where it was people were poor. Friend, let me tell you something. I'm glad today that God in his infinite and riches, he came to save the sinner. Thank God today, doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter what your nationality is, doesn't matter what race of people you come from, he came to save sinners. Say amen. He came to the lost. And here was a Jew. Here was a man sitting on this well. And this woman of Samaria comes up. I want you to see three things this morning. I want you to see this woman that she had tried a lot of things in her lifetime. She had tried to fill her life with pleasure. She had tried to fill her life with something of enjoyment. And every time, it was a wasted effort. Every time she came back, even though she got a well water a bucket, she got a well of water. Every time she came back to that well, her life was empty. Her life was miserable. Her life was unfulfilled. And that well bucket symbolized what was going on inside of her. Friend, may I say to you, you may have a good job. You may have a good income. You may have a big house. But friend, all those things will never, ever satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy the longing. Only Jesus can meet the need. You can have an empty life. You can have a life filled with sorrow and heartache and pain. But my friend, Jesus can satisfy an empty life. I see this woman here. She came with a purpose. And we don't have a lot of time this morning. I want you to see three things about this. Number one, a Savior came to this woman. Notice what the Bible said. He told his disciples in verse number 4. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. I could imagine, Brother Danny, when Jesus spoke that to his disciples, they probably looked over at him and said, in the redneck vernacular today, they probably said, "Are you crazy? What's wrong with you? Talking about going down to Samaria." I mean, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. In fact, the shortest distance would be right across through Samaria. But the Jews didn't want to even get the dust on their feet. So they'd walk all the way around Samaria when they were headed to Jerusalem to worship God. They didn't want to go through Samaria. They hated those people. They hated that country. They looked back and they said, "This is none of our people. We don't want to have anything to do with them." And Jesus said, "I've got to go through Samaria." You know why he went through Samaria? Because there was one woman that needed Jesus. Can I tell you something, friend? There is somebody that God has placed in your life that needs Jesus. I mean, listen, it may be a little waitress. I told my wife the other day, I stopped and got some breakfast the other morning. Walked in the restaurant where I normally go, over in Burlington, and I sit down, and this little waitress, and sister, I can remember her. You know what her name was? Joanne. Nobody else in that side of the restaurant. Brother Tommy, not a soul sitting over there but me. And I came in and she come over. Brother Steve, God just started impressing upon me. And I struck up a conversation. You know, so it's easy to talk about everything under the sun. But sometimes it's hard to talk about our Savior. But you know, he'll give you that opportunity. And so Joanne came over. I'd seen her for years, but I had never really talked to her. And I said, "Well, tell me, how's your morning going?" "Well, it's going pretty good." And so we struck up, and I said, "You probably don't recognize me." And I pulled out my picture from last year. She said, "I know who you are now." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know, I had that surgery and so forth like that." And so she started unfolding. And by the way, her last name was Evans. I asked her, was she kin to her husband's name, Johnny Evans. She said, "My husband was a contractor, building houses, busy all the time. But then in 2008, they diagnosed him with cancer. And he's had cancer ever since then. He's disabled." And she said, "If you told me in 2008 that I would be supporting my husband on a waitress salary, I never would have believed it." She said, "But God always." And we talked all along, and I said, "Joanne, can I pray with you?" And she did. She come over to the table, nobody else in there, and I prayed with her. My breakfast that morning, Brother Steve, I get the $2.95 special. When I got ready to go, I reached in my pocket, and I had a $20 bill. And I said, "Joanne, this is for you." And she began to cry. And she said, "God always sends an angel back just in the time that you need." And she said, "You're my angel today." And I thought to myself, God arranged a divine encounter that day. God arranged it to where nobody else was on that side of the restaurant. God arranged it to where leaving my truck to being worked on and came over there with a borrowed car and sat down. And hey, God arranged it. And friend, let me tell you something. God will arrange a meeting just in the nick of time. It may, Brother Mark, it may be just in the nick of time, but God will meet with you. It may be in a hospital room. It may be in a restaurant. It may be in Walmart. But God has a divine meeting place. And God wants to meet with you today. Amen. You may be here. You may have come to hear these great men to sing. And what a blessing they have been. But God knew that you was going to be here this morning. And God knows what kind of need you've got. You might be here today and you got an empty well bucket. You say, "Preacher, I've tried everything in my life. I've tried drugs. I've tried sex. I've tried liquor. I've tried it all. And they all leave me empty." And they will, until you get a dose of the living water that Jesus can give you. He'll satisfy. Thank God. He'll satisfy the longing of your heart. You might come in with an empty bucket, but you can leave with a full one. I want you to say something about this woman and this well and this empty water bucket. Look what the Bible said here. When he got down to brass tacks, when he got down to talking to her, Notice what she said. Watch this here. Verse number 16. Jesus said, go call thy husband. Come thither. Can I tell y'all something? You might try to camouflage it. You might try to hide it. But our Heavenly Father knows everything there is to know about you. He knows your ins and outs and the ups and goings. He knows exactly where you live. He knows your address. He knows exactly everything there is. How many of y'all believe that? Amen? Amen. He knows everything there is to know about you. Jesus looked over at her and he said, go call thy husband. Now look what she said. Now a lot of folks have misinterpreted this. So let me explain it to you. I'm not trying to be no Bible scholar, but let me explain it to you. And notice what she said. She said in the next verse, she said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said unto her in verse 17, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. And whom thou hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest it truly. Some people have taken that to believe that this woman has been married five times. That's not the case. That's not the case. If you look at the Greek, and if you read this in the original writings, this is how it reads. This woman has had five other women's husbands. Does that make sense to you now? In other words, this woman, I don't know if she was selling her body. I don't know if this was for sexual pleasure. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But the truth of the matter was, she had not been married to these men, but she was having an affair with these men. And when Jesus said, call your husband, she said, I'm not married. He said, rightly so. The man that you got down yonder that you're just the old redneck shacking up with is not your husband at all. Friend, can I tell you something in 2018, and I'm just going on record, and I'm just going to step out here, and I'm just going to tell you the truth, is that sin is still sin, is still sin, is still sin. Can I have an amen on that? By the way, some people want to classify, well, that's a big sin and that's a little sin. Oh, no, the Bible said that, men, if you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery right then and there. Friend, let me tell you something. In the eyes of God, there are no little sins and big sins and white sins and black sins. It's all sin in the eyes of God. And we need, as Brother Allen said, the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from those sins. So here's this woman. Here's this well. Notice what happens here. She had some physical problems. She needed water. She had some spiritual problems. Here she was in a relationship with another man. But here's another problem she had. For look what the Bible said. In verse 19, she said, I perceive you're a prophet. All of a sudden the light bulb went off. All of a sudden she's hearing something. She's hearing something from this man sitting on this well. And she said, I perceive you're a prophet. Now let me ask you, since you're a preacher, don't you just love that? I just love it. Brother Steve, I don't know about y'all, but people coming to you. Hey, I got this biblical question I want to ask you. I said, oh, Lord, help us now, you know. I mean, they want to know everything from A to Z, and they think you are walking encyclopedia sometimes. And so here this woman's like, so since you are, I perceive you're a prophet, let me ask you a biblical question. And that biblical question is this. Where are we supposed to worship? Some folks say we're supposed to go to Jerusalem and worship. Some folks say because we're supposed to go over to the mountain and worship. What do you say? And you know what Jesus said? He said, there's coming a day. Woo! There's coming a day that you don't have to worship in Jerusalem. You don't have to worship on a mountain. You worship God in spirit and in truth. Can I tell you something? That day is today. Hey, if you hadn't felt something already this morning, you better get on board. The Spirit of the living God. But here's a woman. Here's a well. And notice, here's that empty water bucket. She said, I perceive you're a prophet. Jesus goes on to say to her, if you knew who it was, you would ask of me, and I'll give you living water. Living water. Yeah, you don't have to come back to this well. Well, let me throw something else while we're right there. You'll notice the time of day, and when I first have read this, I always figured it was a Jewish clock. And so when we talk about the sixth hour, most of the time we're thinking 12 o'clock noon, but that's not the case. This is a Roman clock. Roman. And their time was different than the Jewish time. Just like our time is Jewish, different than the Jewish clock. If you read this passage, you will find that Jesus was weary. They had traveled all day. His disciples had gone to the McDonald's and the Burger King to buy some meat and left him sitting on the well. This was not high noon. This was about 7 o'clock in the evening. And here this woman, I can see her now, Brother Steve. I can see her peering out of her curtains, waiting. So all the other women are gone, waiting. All the other women would have drawn the water early in the morning in the cool of the day. But this woman, because of her reputation and because of her guilt, she didn't want to venture out when all the other gossipers, can I have an amen right there? When all the other backbiters and when all the other criticizers, oh, look at her, look at her, look at her. I mean, she's been shacking up. Hey, but you know something? Sin is sin in the eyes of God, ain't it? Don't matter if you're gossiping, run somebody down, or committing adultery. That's all sin. Say amen. But she peered at her curtains, and she was a-watching, and she's a-waiting until all the biddies got their water, until after it was high noon, until it was after the evening hours in the late evening, and then she got her empty bucket and she went down to that well, and lo and behold, she wasn't figuring on encountering anybody. She wasn't figuring on seeing nobody. Everybody else was home, but there sat a man on the side of the well. And I'm glad to tell you that thank God for the day in 1967 in Raleigh, North Carolina, that a man sat on the well and he saved mine with his soul. I had an encounter with the divine Son of God. Have you ever met him? How many of you know him today? Where did he meet you at? Was it in a church service? Was it at home? Was it in a revival meeting? But there stood a man on the well one day, and this man was not some ordinary man. In fact, if you read the Greek, when she finally got saved and she ran back into town, she said, come see a man that told me all that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Come see an unusual, extraordinary man. He told me everything I ever did, and he didn't condemn me. He saved me. Amen. He'll do the same for you. There's a woman. There's a well. And then there's an empty bucket. She came to the well to fill the bucket, but she never did get that bucket filled. You know what the Bible said? She left her bucket. And you know what she did, Brother Steve? Brother Allen, if I could, I would take off a running and I'd get you to go with me. She went. And you know what she did? She ran into the house. She said, hey, come see a man that told me all I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Hey, you guys in here, come see a man. He told me everything I ever did, everything I ever did, everything I ever thought, everything I ever dreamed of. He knows me, and he loves me, and he forgave me. He washed me. I want you to know the same man that I met at the well, at Sychar. Do you know him today? Has he saved you? Has he washed you? Can the church say amen? Amen. Thank God for the blood. Say amen. Amen. Thank God for a man whose name is Jesus. Every head bowed. Oh, bless you. I'll bless the Lord. Thank God for the blood.